As the elders have set aside this month of September to promote evangelism, of course, we began with lessons last week pertaining to evangelism as well. We had these good-looking signs and banners on the wall, and I felt it a shame to not go ahead and start preaching on evangelism with them up. I felt like I needed to say something about it. But as we have evangelism on the forefront of our thoughts and thinking about what we can do to evangelize, thinking about our responsibility to evangelize, I want us to be reminded about the children of Israel. In particular, if you can remember in Daniel and those three Hebrew youths that were taken away into captivity, and that second taken away into Babylon, can you imagine being taken into a land, and especially as a young person, being taken away into a strange land, into a strange place, going through a strange school, learning different things, things that you're not accustomed to, but the Lord blesses you, and you do the very best that you can, and so you're promoted as you go along through time, and you're built up, and the Lord continues to bless you. You find favor with those who are rulers in that kingdom, so you stand out among your peers in that sense. But what I'm reminded of is Daniel writes this. He is writing this, and of course it's a prophetic message, and we understand that. But also consider the fact that Daniel is writing to a people who are oppressed, who are captive in a land. They have been taken away from home, and they need to be reminded. They're reminded about why they're there, but they're also reminded that they need to be still evangelizing, even in another country. That they need to be taking that gospel message that God has given throughout the ages, that we need to have faith unto God, that we need to believe in Him, that we need to follow Him, and whatever law that is at that particular time, that's what we need to be following. But now think about this. Under all of that oppression that they were facing, and how they were, I'm sure, discouraged at some times. Think about us for just a moment. Because I'm sure that with at least one preacher in the audience, there has been times of discouragement. With our three elders and those who have served even in the past in our audience, there have been times of discouragement. With our deacons and their many works that they're involved in, there have been times of discouragement. And every member of the body of Christ faces discouragement, hard times, difficult things to overcome in life. And yet the Bible teaches us over and over our responsibility to evangelize. And how are we going to do that in the midst of all the adversity that we face in our lives? Well, when we look to Daniel and we're reminded of what is said, he says, "They that be wise, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." And then he says, "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." They'll stand out. They'll shine out. They'll be so bright in a land that is so dim. And we all the time are talking about how the things in our society are just awful. And the things that are going on, and we see the things, and the people are involved in sin all around us, and we see the things that are going on, and we are discouraged by that. But in a land where the light has been turned off, we as children of God are to shine as bright as the stars, as the brightness of the firmament, Daniel says. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to learn at some point, number one, it is our responsibility to evangelize. And number two, we're going to have to remember that even when all things look very dreary and things look like we're facing certain doom, we can still preach the saving message of the gospel. And I promise, it will change lives. Because when God's word is sent forth, it does not return unto Him void. And we have been given that responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so now, we understand our responsibility in evangelism. But let's go back and think about our text for just a moment. Because we have all faced adversity. We have all faced difficult times, hard tasks that are set before us. What will we do when we're faced with that adversity? Will we continue to preach the gospel? Will we continue to preach that saving message that man needs to hear? The reason that I wanted to begin really this month with this particular lesson is because it addresses three different groups of individuals within the church. Number one, it addresses the elders, it addresses the preacher, and it addresses every member of the congregation. So that includes us all. And so let's think about this, because understanding our relationship one with another, we understand that we can be there to build one another up. We understand that we can, and we should be. And we also understand that in difficult times, we need to be able to turn to our brother and our sister for that encouragement. And so here, as the body of Christ, the family of God that meets here at Oceanside, we are going to evangelize. That is something that we're all going to do. And we're going to be encouraged in it by one another. And we have the promise of God. He says, go and I will be with you. We're given that promise. Matthew 28 and verse 20, where Jesus said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or to the end of the age. So we have the promise of God that He's going to be with us. And we should be then encouraged in that. And we can overcome adversity. And we understand, I think, very simply, that we can overcome adversity because we already have. We have faced adversity in our life. We have faced discouragement in our life. And we have overcome. But what I'm asking us to do now is that even in the face of adversity, even in a time when people do not want to hear the gospel, seemingly, we still preach the gospel because that's what we were sent forth to do. We were sent forth with a commission by our God to go and to preach His saving message concerning His Son who died for the sins of all mankind. Now, then in both good times and bad, we look at the children of Israel, and they were admonished by the prophecy of Daniel to remain faithful, to shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever, and through their actions, and namely, the teaching of God's Word for generations to come, to tell of the mighty works that God has done, and to now live faithful lives in God, influencing all of those around them, they were going to shine as lights in the darkness, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You remember Paul admonishes those at Philippi to do the same thing. This is what they were doing. The reason that they were in captivity is because they had become a perverse nation. And this was part of the consequences to that. This was part of their punishment. This was part of their chastening to bring them back unto God, to keep that remnant, that faithful remnant, so that the Christ could come through the seed of David, through the seed of Abraham, and that promise to be fulfilled, that all nations might be blessed. And so we think about today. We are considered spiritual Israel, the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:29. And so there's great application for us in this lesson as well. In Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so let's think about then this morning. Shining as lights today, we have our elders in the very forefront of what we're doing, the men who lead us, elders who turn many to righteousness. Let's think about the work of elders for a moment then. One of our brotherhood preachers, George W. Bailey, once said, Elders provide the direction and also the distance for the church. The direction for the church, well, of course, based upon the Word of God, but also the distance, because we have to be encouraged to run the whole race and not to come up short in the race. And so our elders are there. They provide both the direction and also the distance that we need to go and make it to heaven. Now think about this, considering the work. How is it that elders provide that direction? How is it that they provide the encouragement so that we can make the distance that we need? Because wise elders work. You remember our text in Daniel 12. He said, "The wise shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars of heaven." You see, wise elders work. The work of elders is leading. An elder, a presbyter, is one who is obviously somewhat older as part of the qualification. He's wiser in that sense, in contrast to the younger and inexperienced one. That's the reason that it's part of the qualification, because he's faced things already in his life. He has a family that is up, and his children are believing, and they have obeyed the gospel, and they're wiser because they have dealt with things. They've had to rule their own house. And you look at those qualifications given there in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, and there's a reason that these men are set apart to lead, and they have these qualifications because the work of elders is to lead. A leader is one who is spiritually mature. They give the direction, and it's easy to see the direction because they are out in front leading us. Because wise elders work. They can go the distance, and they can help us go the distance. They see the direction. They're following the direction that God has given. They're leading the way for us to see. They're leading the charge, so to speak. So that here we are as members, and we follow, because these wise men before us are leading the way. They give direction, and they give the distance. The work of elders is also overseeing. A bishop or an overseer, according to Thayer, is a man charged with the duty of seeing that things are to be done by others and that they're to be done right. And so, in one sense, kind of like a curator and taking care of those things within the church. Let's think about this, because the one idea is literally watching over. He's an overseer. And so he watches over the work entrusted to him by God. The work of an elder is also watching for the souls of men. Pastor, a shepherd, one who is giving care as a shepherd would to his own flock. Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. And so wise elders learn lessons from Jesus, the good shepherd. And they lead as he led, and they follow the direction that he set forth to begin with. John 10, we find Jesus being referred to as the good shepherd. We can also see various uses of the word shepherd, pastor, bishop, overseer, elder, presbyter. All of these words are used. In Acts 20, verse 28, when Paul called the Ephesian elders down to Miletus to meet with him and to warn them that there were going to be those who would come in and try to take over and even try to take over the eldership. And so those men whom the Holy Ghost had made them overseers over the flock of God, which Christ purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and 28, they were to feed the church of God. They were to watch for the souls of the church of God. We have responsibility then to them to follow them that have the rule over us, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. So we submit to the elders, for they watch for our souls. The point is that the elders that work, they're wise, and therefore they lead, and we as members follow. These men are qualified to lead us, and they serve us in that capacity. And they watch for our souls. They give both direction and the distance. And therefore, There might be times when it doesn't look like we're going to make the distance, and we need encouragement. We need to be fed. And so they're there for us in that capacity to help us along, if you will, so that we can make the distance. And as children of God, these elders are to continue the work of turning many to righteousness in a world that is darkened and in despair because of sin. And so they shine forth as the very sun itself. We need elders who are going to stand in the gap. And so not only the elders that we have today serving, but what about elders 10 years in the future, 20 years in the future? We need to be training men who can serve in this capacity as well. And so not just today, but yet in the future, we need to be looking to that. And what can we do to help encourage men to serve in that capacity and live faithful lives so that they are qualified to serve in that capacity? And so, shining as lights today, we have our elders. Shining as lights today, we need preachers who will turn many to righteousness. And this is where I get to talk about the work of a preacher a little bit. Brother Tom Holland once said that the work of the preacher is working. The work of a preacher is working. And so wise preachers work. They do not sit in front of a computer all day, although they have to write their sermons, and that's the means that we use to do that today. We write our sermons, we write articles, we do all of that, we prepare lessons, we get those things ready, but we cannot baptize our computer. That's not going to turn out very good. We've got to get out there and be working in the community and to be known in the community as workers for the Lord. And so when we think about preachers and young men who are thinking about preaching the gospel, this lesson is for us as well, because think about what we have to do. We have to do the work of the Lord. And this is what God's preachers are to do. Do the work of the Lord. They work with the Lord. They work for the Lord. And they are the workmen for the congregation. In so many senses of the idea, because everything about our work, it is a work. We are there as servants of the Lord. We are there as servants of the members of the body of Christ. We are there to serve the elders. We are there to help the deacons. We are there to do so many different tasks. That's the work that we take on. And so we need preachers who will turn many to righteousness. That means that preachers must be working the work of the Lord. I appreciate what has been said in the past by many gospel preachers and by many faithful writers concerning the work of preachers, and I've read many of their books and many of their commentaries, and I'm always encouraged when I read about the work of a preacher. I'm enlightened as to the work, and I learn much from it. But at the same time, I'm encouraged because there is great blessings, because in the work of a preacher, it is the case that from the birth of a child, you're there with the families. One day you might be able to baptize that young person into Christ. And one day you're going to see them grow up and maybe become preachers, or maybe marry a preacher, or maybe become an elder, or marry a man who's qualified or going to be qualified and help him to serve in that capacity. You see, I get to see the change of so many people's lives. And that's a blessing to me. And that encourages me every day. And just when I think the work is too difficult and I can't go on in the face of adversity, you keep me going forward with encouragement, with the work that you are doing. You don't know how many times I hear about different ones in the congregation. And I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit in my lesson, but bear with me just a little bit. You know how many times I hear about different ones in the congregation that you wouldn't know? There they are working in the background, and they're getting things done, and they're working hard for the Lord. They do not want any recognition. They do not want their name put out there in front of anybody, but they're doing the work. That's what is encouraging. That's what keeps us going. And that's what also encourages our elders. They see that and they too are ready to move forward and to keep working this great work that we're involved in. And so implied in the word work is literally the meaning of activity, labor expended, literally to effect one by toil and labor. We understand our reward is in heaven. That's the reason that every member of the Lord's body works and toils and continues on doing this work, keeping on, as they say. That's why we do what we do, because we're Christians. That's who we are, and that is what we do. We live the life that Christ has set before us, and so we move forward. And so, shining as lights today, preachers who turn many to righteousness. I think about Paul, who told Timothy, "Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, thy serving, thy work that is set before us." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. To Titus, Paul would say, "In all things, showing thyself an example of good works." Titus 2 in verse 7. The point is, preachers that work are wise. Let's think about this, because it comes down then to every member of the Lord's body. Shining as lights today, members who turn many to righteousness. The work of members, the beautiful thing about the work of the church of our Lord that He purchased with His own blood, the beautiful thing is that there is enough work for all. There's plenty of work to be done, and everybody can do the work. Everybody can be involved in this great work. When I think about the sign that's even in the very back in John 4, verse 35, when Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes into the field, look onto the fields, look out there, because they are white unto harvest." There is so much to be done out there in the world. And brethren, there are people who are looking for the truth. They are looking for the truth. They want to hear it. And so we need to be the ones who will take it. Whether we're facing adversity in our life, whether we're discouraged in our life, that doesn't matter. Whether we're in a foreign country, it doesn't matter. We do this work because it has been set before us. We have been commissioned to go forth. Ephesians 4:16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies." Everybody has a work in the Lord's body. "According to the effectual working, a measure of every part maketh increase unto the body, unto the edifying of itself in love." And part of that work that we do is edifying one another, building up one another, encouraging one another. Why? So that we can go out and preach the gospel. Why do we do benevolent works? Why? So that we can teach the gospel. Why do we build up one another? So we can go out and teach people. That's what it's all about. It's about evangelism. It's about teaching the lost the gospel of Christ, the saving message. Jesus came with the very purpose in mind to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And we need to be ever reminded of that purpose, because if we lose our focus, then we're just out there spinning our wheels. Then we just become to a certain point where we're just kind of keeping house, or we're just kind of getting by. But that's not what it's all about. It's about preaching the gospel. And so we've got to get out there and do it, brethren. It takes everyone doing their part. It takes those who will encourage. It takes those who will step out on faith and teach those who will overcome fear in their lives. I told you what fear was in Bible class. That's false evidence that appears real. And so we don't have to worry about fear anymore. It's just false evidence. We don't need that. Just overlook that. Move on past our fears. How are we going to do it? We're going to get out there and teach. We're going to get out there and do this work, because that's what's been set before us. And why do we do it? Ephesians 3:21 gives us that answer. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Ephesians 3:21, "Unto Him be glory in the church." "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now, verses like this teach us that every member has a work to do in the Lord's church and for the congregation to succeed in our endeavors, in our work, there must be those who have been turned unto righteousness, who will now go out and turn others unto righteousness, who will go out and teach others. It's going to take everyone doing it, though. I like when I look around this morning and I see the rows fairly well filled up, but you know what that also tells me? They're not completely full and we have room for more. Let's bring them in. Bring them in. We have a work to do, brethren, but it's going to take everyone doing their part. Isn't that interesting how this continues through the ages? That there are those who have turned to righteousness, and then they in turn teach others how to turn unto righteousness. And then through the ages, there have to be those who will stand up at some point and teach the truth and turn many to righteousness. That was the point in Daniel. That even in adversity, even here in captivity, and they were just going to be there for a little while, but they had to continue to teach every generation as they came along the truth, God's great working that He's done through His people, so they can turn unto God, so that they can turn unto righteousness. It had to be taught over and over. Paul reminded the brethren at Corinth to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, if we are faithful unto God, if we will stand fast and firm in our convictions, if we will get out there and preach the gospel, our work is not vain. Our work is not useless, and it will turn many to righteousness, because God will do His work after we've done ours. He's already set forth a plan for us. That's simple. We don't have to come up with anything special there. We don't have to come up with anything on our own. We don't have to make it look like something it's not. Just simply teach the truth to people so that they can hear it and obey it before it's everlastingly too late. Members that work are wise. Understanding, of course, that every member of the Lord's church has different abilities, different talents, different specialties, different things that they can do in the Lord's body. And I understand the roles that have been given, specifically set by God. Men are to serve in the forefront of things, but women are to likewise serve. And women, you can do so many different things that frankly, us men have a hard time doing and helping people with. You can reach people that we're not able to reach. And it's simply because of your nurturing ways and the abilities that you have and the good food that you cook that you can help people with. You can help bring a lot of souls to Christ through a good meal, right? And think about all the work that we do in this congregation already. The reason that we do it is evangelism. It's because we're here to teach the gospel. Brethren, let's get on board with this. Let's do this work that has been set before us. And if we work, the Lord will bless. We know that to be the case. Philippians 1, verse 5 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul thanked the church at Philippi for their help. You know, and not every member is able to go out and to physically go out and to knock doors and to talk to people, but can pick up a phone. Can send a card, can do many things. There are those, though, who can stand out front and teach the gospel, even in a public way, men. And so you think about the different works that are set before us, the different abilities that we have, the different talents that we have. We need to pull them together as resources for the work of the church. But Paul thanked the church at Philippi. He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Christ." He's going to continue it until the day of Christ. Think about that. Paul called this the work of God. The work of God. As Christians, Brethren, we are privileged to work with God. Have you ever thought about that? Think about some of the secular jobs that I know I've had in the past, and people that I've worked with, and maybe even some of the people that you work with. But we work with God as Christians. And it is a glorious work. It is a work that I want every one of us to be involved in. I want us to be encouraged in it. I want us to be trained on how to go out and to teach people. And so that's why we have things like the Fishers of Men class. And I've already heard great things from the first week from those who are taking the class. They've enjoyed their work and they're getting used to kind of how the class is set up and how it's arranged. And they're encouraged in it. And you're going to be hearing great things in the weeks to come from those individuals. But don't let the work pass you by. Be a part of it. Encourage them. See how you can help them. See how you can get out and bring souls to Christ. See how you can go out and tell people to come in and hear the gospel message. We have so many opportunities to be able to teach. Let's seize those opportunities that we might shine as the firmament and even as the stars of heaven in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation and this sinful world. The gospel message will save. I feel like the Apostle Paul, and I hope that you will feel this way with me. In Romans 1:14, where Paul says, I'm a debtor both to Jews and to the Greeks, to the wise, to the unwise. Paul says, I'm a debtor to them. He felt indebted to them. Why? Because he knew the gospel. He knew the gospel that was able to save their souls. Why would he not want to go and teach it to them? Why would we want to hold the gospel in and hide it, as it were, under a bushel? But no. Let's shine it for all to see so that all have opportunity to understand it and obey it. And so I think about those who shine as lights, who shine as even the stars of heaven, as the very sun itself. Elders who work are wise. Preachers who work are wise. Members who work are wise. Work, for the night is coming. We know that there's a time coming when we won't be able to work anymore. But now we're here, we're able. Let's not give excuses. Let's just simply do the work that is set before us. We've made the point that those who work for the Lord are wise. Let me ask this question. What is wisdom? It's the ability to apply knowledge or experience or understanding or common sense or insight. The quality of being prudent and sensible. Simply put, taking what we know to be the truth and applying it to our lives. That's wisdom. Now we have no excuse. So let's apply it and let's do the work set before us. Let's take what we've learned even in this lesson, but in the other lessons that we've talked about evangelism and we'll continue to talk about throughout this month, let's take this and be encouraged in the work. Encourage one another to overcome fears, to talk to people. That's what I hear all the time, is it's hard for me to talk to people. We have to overcome that fear. You remember Jesus said, fear not what man can do unto you, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. Fear God and keep His commandments. Reverence and respect Him enough that you'll go and keep His commands. And we've been commanded to go and to teach. And so if we have difficulty with this, we need to check our hearts. We need to check our hearts. Because we likely have some kind of heart disease, heart condition, whatever it may be, and it's called sin. We need to check ourselves Why is it that I'm not teaching others? Why is it that I'm not using my ability and talents in the service of the Lord? Why? And when you get to the root of that, we need to straighten it out. We need to repent of it and make those necessary changes in our lives. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This work is going to continue on, really, with or without us. The work that God has set before His children is going to continue on. But don't you want to be a part of it? You become a part of it by obeying the gospel to begin with. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins," John 8:24. He said we must be willing to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. That we must confess Him before men, Matthew 10:32. And we must be baptized to wash away our sins. That's His plan. Are you willing to obey that simple plan for salvation and become a child of God, a Christian, one who is willing to work, one who is willing to do and make that commitment unto God to do the work that He has set before us? Brethren, where are we in our faith? Are we faithful servants? Are we doing the work? Can we encourage you this morning to come and to make things right with God? Let us know how we can help you while together we stand and sing.